Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, we'll CEO and community leader, Kiana Webb.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guests, Derek McKenzie and Josephine Papink. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Just this week, I had a client ask me something that she's never really brought into our client sessions before. And not that it was a surprise to me, but it was something that I had never approached with her because she had never asked for specific help in that area. And she had other areas that she wanted to work on, and mainly business related. But this week, she told me that she had asked several people, actually specifically men, why her friends, rather, men that friends that were are men, why they thought she wasn't in a romantic relationship. One man in particular, she said, answered her by asking her a question, and that question was, have you ever Googled yourself? And she said that she told him, yes, I have. What does that have to do with it? And he said, you are intimidating to men because you've done so much. And she went on to tell me that she doesn't want a man that's intimidated by what she's done. So that's like almost inconsequential. She told me that other men had said other things that she had never thought to ask them. And that brought her to, I'd never thought to ask you, Filippo, why do you think I'm not in a relationship? And I said to her that I didn't know why she was not in a relationship at this moment. Maybe she was supposed to learn something before she was in another relationship, or maybe she was meant to not have a relationship. I don't know. But one thing that I felt strongly about, knowing her and knowing what she had asked for my help in doing as a life coach and supporting her as a life coach, I said to her that I didn't see how she could possibly have a relationship. And she said, I know, because you're going to say, because I don't have time, but I would make time if there was somebody special in my life. And I said, well, I wasn't going to say it exactly that way. But since you said that, I said, then I'm going to go with that and say, you do have someone in your life that you could and might want to consider making time for. And that someone is you. And I said to her, I think you want to listen to an upcoming show and or get the book by our guest, Kiana Webb, who is going to be talking about how important the relationships we have with ourselves really is, and that the external relationships reflect that. And I said, so going with that, I said, looking at the kind of business partners or employees that she had recently attracted, where they were cracking the whip or not treating her nicely, I turned it around and said, well, potentially you're cracking the whip on yourself, and this is an external representation, or you're not treating yourself nicely. So I think a good place to start is with the relationship with yourself.
Wow, what a big conversation, big show tonight. It reminds me of a recent conversation we had where we were talking about all relationships are a reflection of your relationship with yourself. Mm. And I'm really interested to hear more from Kiana tonight.
Oh, yeah. And boy, does she have lots to say. I'm very excited to introduce our guest. We've titled, thanks to the inspiration from her and her book and her website, we've titled the episode "With Faith, Hope, and Love, You Are the Key to Your Perfect World." That's a big title. Our interview guest is a speaker and entrepreneur, and we're going to talk about it today, author of A Glorious Arising. Glorious Arising to you, Kiana Webb. Welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you. I'm so excited. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. And thank you for inspiring what I got to say to my client. What do you think of that?
My heart is so full as you were talking. I wish that you could be in the room with me because it's completely expanded. I feel everybody can feel it.
You know, I felt like that when you and I were speaking the other day, and I sometimes ask people, how'd you get so smart? And then I started reading your book and I thought, oh, that's how she got so smart. So you might have come with a lot of smarts, and you also came with, I guess, a lot of challenges that you would have to face to get to who you are today. Can we talk about some of that?
Absolutely. I'm ready.
So there is so much. Which part is, well, it all started since you were a little girl, and you had the consciousness of it's like happening. Like, what is this? Tell us what that is. Or was for you?
My dad would tell you that I was additive. As a child, everywhere I went, I would make the spaces better. And I didn't have to do anything. It was just a way of being. But in that, there were a lot of expectations that I would do something. And that something was always to either serve or be of service to my family and to the broader community that we were always a part of. And it was ingrained. It was just who I was. I was really good at it. And whether I liked it or not didn't play a part. It was the expectation that I would always be that. And so I could do things that most people couldn't do as a young child. It wasn't just caring for my brother. My mother has multiple sclerosis, and it was caring for my whole household. It was learning to drive when I was 11 and 12. And by the time I was 13, I could go to the grocery store, buy groceries for my family, come back home, cook a meal, and still do homework. It was this knowing that I had a gift that was able to really help people. And my parents honed it, but also needed it, right? So that we could accomplish what we did as a family. And in the midst of that, there was a lot of challenges. I talk in the book about being molested and not sharing and not having the capacity or the ability to share what was happening with me as a child. And I think that also created a lot of resiliency because I didn't have to share things. People would tell me what they needed and I could figure out how to get it done. And that I think things that happen to you, if you look at it in its totality, right, you don't look at all the things that it created harm for, you also find how it created resiliency and all the gifts in it, then the complete picture starts to begin to make you whole.
In the meantime, as a child, well, as an adult, so many of us don't have the tools to let go of stress or to understand what somebody meant when they said something or that didn't feel right, or when we have too much going on, et cetera, et cetera. Did you have the tools as a child, or did this, it had to get to you?
Got it. I mean, there are key moments where I remember saying, I would not let sexual abuse move forward. Right. And I was about 11 or 12. In my family. And from that point forward, it was no longer a discussion that we were having about anyone younger than me. Maybe older, but not younger. Or I would say, I'm not going to have MS. That would not be my future. And over again, there are moments where I would think, I don't want to lose a relationship with my family because someone else doesn't like them. The relationship that I have with my dad or with my mom or with my brothers are my own, regardless of what other people's relationships are. And the last one that I would say that was really important to me was, is I would always ask myself, because I grew up knowing I was loved. Like my father really poured love into me. And I would ask myself, is my upset more important than my relationship to love?
Well,
And those are, I think, the key core foundations of my way of thinking. Because I can get really upset, right? And it's probably brutal. I could take people out, but I don't want to create that life for myself. I don't want to invite that into my life, and I don't want to give it to someone else because of all the things that had happened. So I ask myself, what is the way of being that I want before I start doing anything?
wow, did you have that as a child? I keep going back to the child thing because it even the day-to-day stuff, like I have to go get the groceries and I have to cook or whatever and take care of this person and that person, and I have to do homework and I have to go to school, and managing to all that's something that a lot of adults have trouble with, not to put anybody down, but a child,
I mean, I have a
yeah.
large capacity to do things. It's always been the case. But when you're a kid, you don't know. That's just your life. It's what you do. It's normal. It wasn't until I got into high school that I started to understand that those things weren't normal. So the basis of comparison actually made it harder to do because resentment came. But those skills and the ability to do it was already set as a child. So those The direction of the life. It's like more a mindset around it being awful than it actually is awful. Because when I didn't know any better, it was just life.
Wow. When did the awareness come to you that you had a great relationship with other people, or at least they felt that from you, but you needed a relationship with yourself?
I would say that I was in a postgraduate course through McDonald's, and this woman came in and asked us to talk about ourselves. And I didn't have the capacity to talk about myself at all. I can only share what I could see for other people. And anytime she would bring the questions back to me, I felt shame, but I couldn't identify it then. I just felt like nauseous and uncomfortable. And by the time I got to the end of that course, I really was asked to choose whether or not I liked myself. And so I had a final speech that said, I like me. I'll admit, I didn't really like me, but it was the precursor of liking me. And that Probably I was 24, 25 when that happened. And so that was what has been driving me in terms of the beginning stages of finding myself. It was finding all the ways that I liked me and all the ways I didn't like me.
Wow. I listen to you and I can't imagine what you didn't like about you. And you don't have to say, I can't imagine.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, I didn't like I was tall. I'm 6'3". You know, it's not really the first thing that men are attracted to when they see you, especially when you're insecure about it. I've always been a dominant personality, and I would back away from that. So I didn't like the fact that I didn't stand up for myself. I didn't like the fact that everyone always had an expectation that I would fix things, and I didn't know how to say no. So I was always saying yes at the expense of myself. I mean, I could go on. There's a lot of things that I didn't like, but every place that I felt uncomfortable or I didn't like it, it gave me the ability to love myself and to learn to like me for the way that I was, but also to uncover how I wanted to be.
So, Kiana, you gave a speech on how you liked yourself, but you didn't like yourself at the time. You also used to sign your emails a certain way, and you weren't connecting with that at the time too. Tell us about that.
So I grew up in a Christian household. I didn't really connect to the religion that I was being taught. I didn't feel like it was authentic and honest at all times. But there were certain passages in the Bible that would draw me in. And in 1 Corinthians, they have the love is patient. And I always felt like when you really loved, if you embodied that, that would be great. But at the end of it, it says, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Mm. So I experienced it in a more general conversation 3 or 4 times in my life. And it always came down to, how do you see? How do you feel? And how do you accept? That's faith, hope, and love. And it's asking you to look at it from multiple planes. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself with others? How do you see yourself thinking how others think about you, right? That's a way of judging. How do you see yourself in the grander picture of the world? And how do you see the world and the existence in totality? And so when I looked at it, it was like, okay, how do I relate to God? How do I relate to spirit and the energy around me? And how do I relate to this material world, right, that we can tangibly see and touch? And in all the places that I could see it, a lot of times faith is you're aware of it, but you don't necessarily see it in reality. And it's the awareness piece that's so powerful, because it gives you an opening to go in and see all the things that the universe, if you believe in God, God, whatever, is trying to show you as a lesson, so that you can feel more and love more without fear, right? And so I was signing emails, sending them out. And one day I signed it faith, hope, and love. And all of a sudden I was like, that's embarrassing. So I tried to delete it, and it was almost an imperative that I left it. It was so uncomfortable every time I deleted it. So about 3 months in, faith, hope, and love was the only way that I can end an email. And that lasted from the time I was about 26, I would say 27, when I took over my family's company, until last year when I wrote the book.
Wow. With faith, hope, and love is what we've used for the title of our show. You are the key to your perfect world. We're going to jump into the book, which is this and so much more. But before we do, or rather as part of it, you have begun to look at relationships, relationship with yourself, relationship with other people, and relationship with what happened and what and why, and you have either healed them or at least understood them, going back. You have an uncanny way of doing that. Tell us what that is. Very interesting.
Well, as you mentioned earlier about relationships, every experience that you're having it with yourself. And I remember hearing from someone, the one constant that you have in life is that you take you everywhere you go. Mm. Right? So there's nowhere in my life that I'm not with myself. There's a lot of times in life where I'm not aware of what I'm doing as myself, but I'm always present in this vessel, even being unpresent. Right? So
that's the good news and the bad news.
It's great. Right? And awful. Yes. Trust me. There's still moments where I'm like, oh, I didn't see that. And now I'm seeing it and I don't like it. And I'm not ready to go in there. I'm not ready yet. But being in awareness creates the world so that everything that I see is showing it to me. If I'm upset with someone, my upset is showing me how I'm upset with myself, not with that person. Right? If I have a spinning wheel of thoughts and it's the same story over and over again, I go in and ask, well, what is this telling me about me? Because I'm the only one having these thoughts. And whether I'm thinking that it's someone else, like with you, if I say, Filippo, you made me mad and you keep telling me something, and now I believe that faith, hope, and love is not right for me, I am maybe upset with you, but the reality is I'm just upset. And my upset is pointing to something that you said that was already in me to be upset. To understand where faith, hope, and love can be expanded within me, right? It's constantly asking us not just to look at it as a mirror, but redirect the mirror to find insight internally about how you see yourself, how you feel about yourself, and how you can fully love and accept all of the things that you see and you feel, and then put in a new way of being, of how you want to see and how you want to feel, and can you fully love and accept yourself even as you are learning how to do it as you go along?
And so to be able to also go back and recognize, oh, right, that's what happened there, or that's who I was there, or that was me, or something.
I don't do that anymore. I say,
Oh.
oh, I accept all the ways that I treated someone wrong, right? I didn't know. How can you be made wrong for something that you didn't really know or understand? It was staring at you, but you couldn't see it, right? So that's where a lot of forgiveness and grace comes in for me. And if there's a need for me to make amends, I will make amends, but first I need to do it inwardly so that I don't create more upset or disconnection with the person I'm desirous to make amends with. And then the second thing I do is to, shape the narrative and no longer create a story. It's just, well, that's what happened. And I love that it's showing me how to love.
Wow. Wow. What does it sound like when you make amends to yourself first?
I put my hand on my heart and I say, oh, Kiana, forgive, because you didn't know. You didn't know what you did. Okay. Does other people need to have that with them, that you are offering to have an apology so that there is the possibility of forgiveness? But there is no expectation or condition of my love at that point because I've already freed it from myself. And it's an energy. I could feel the heat or the coldness, something moving through my body. Usually it allows a part of my body that I'm holding tense to relax. Because I've healed the part of me that is hurting.
You know what you did this morning? You texted me, "Glorious arising, Filippo." And it put a huge smile in my face. And so I'm curious, did the title of the book come first, or have you used that before?
No, I was in a group still a part of, and they decided that good morning was abhorrent to them, which I was like, why? And they were equating mourning with the period of mourning, like of grief, right? And I was like, but it's not
Like
the same. Yes.
MOURNING. Yes.
Like that's not the same. It's not the same, right? But they started to say grand rising. And that did not sit with me. And I was saying to myself, well, every day I wake up, I can walk into life thinking that it's a glorious arising, or I could walk into life not. So I began saying glorious arisings as my way of greeting. And then the company turned into glorious arisings, and the book as the first one was a glorious arising.
A glorious arising, a journey to the remembrance of me. What's that part mean?
Well, in the same passage I referenced about faith, hope, and love, it talks about as a child, you were a child, and it's time to put those childish things away. And it's not childish to have your feelings or experiences from the past, it's are you recreating the same pattern of behavior throughout your entire life and not healing from them, right? And so the whole concept about being in remembrance is to remember who you are without the hurt and the pain, without the conditions and expectations. It's being, as we would say now, your authentic self. But most people don't even know what their authentic self is until you've done the part that fully loves and accepts all of you.
Fully loves and accepts all of you.
Yeah.
Sounds like a tall order.
I mean, I'm tall, so that makes sense.
Ba-dum-bum. And a comedian too. So in the writing of this book, did you believe all of it while you were writing it, or did it take a moment?
No, it wasn't a belief. When you write, they tell you it's the most cathartic thing that you could do. It was very challenging to face parts of myself that I thought I had healed that had so much underlayment of healing that was still necessary. And my intention, probably 2 years before I even thought about writing a book, was to have to be free, right? And anytime I do my spiritual work for those last 2.5 years, it was to be fully free as myself. I don't recommend that as an intention unless you really want it, because to be fully free as yourself is going to unveil a lot of stuff that you never wanted to look at, right?
And potentially set someone at odds with the people currently in their circle?
I mean, I that's a whole nother
Okay.
podcast.
Deal.
The strife that happened in the midst of this and the relationships that have completely shifted. It's really a blessing that God placed in me the capacity and the desire to love regardless of what's coming at me, right? And someone mentioned this once to me that they just wanted to be loved bigger than their fears. And I asked the question, how can I love you bigger than your fears if you don't love you bigger than your fears? And I looked at that question and was like, okay, Kiana, it's you who want to love bigger than your fears. It's you who want freedom. And that freedom is to be you, unabashedly, unashamed, without feeling a lack of self-worth. You're worthy. You are enough. There's nothing shameful about you. So can you love yourself and be free that those things never hold you back from all the things that you are?
In the book, right off the bat, you write, "It took Herculean effort and serious soul searching for me to finally accept that pain, grief, sadness, aloneness, and hurt were steps along my way to claiming the life I desired."
Exactly.
Are
Yeah.
these steps for everybody?
Well, I don't know too many people that walk through life that doesn't have some sort of historic pattern that leaves them less than their fullest self, right? So yes.
Wow. Okay, so going through the book, how can people expect to be supported while also getting to experience you?
Well, the book takes you through a backstory. So the origins of my parents and a little bit about my grandparents and how that shaped the narrative for me, right? And then it moves into my story. And my hope is that in it, you experience that the story was shaping but not defining, right? That it is also looking at it through a lens of really profound love. And my story is only my story, but I hope people can see themselves in it and insert their unique experiences that they can relate to and start really looking at it through the lens of love, right? And then I had such beautiful lessons and teachings and teachers that I wanted to incorporate how I incorporated those lessons into my life. and also hopefully guide them as a stepping stone to exploring those lessons and those teachings, and see how it unveils itself for them. And to really embrace the fact that while we're all on a similar journey, each one of our journeys is completely unique. So you can never walk in my shoes, and I can never walk in yours, but I can walk beside you, and sometimes behind you, and sometimes in front of you. But in all ways, I get to learn and grow about myself and alongside everyone else who's doing this with us. So that's what I hope
So,
you get.
yes, I trust that's what people get also when they work with you directly and when they attend your events and all that. So, Kiana Webb. com is where they could learn more, and I'll spell that KIANAWEBB, Kiana Webb, and then gloriousarisings.com as well. We have several links on the Life Changes Show page for Kiana if you go to Life Changes Show and look up Kiana. But Kiana, what's the other best way for people to find you and follow you? Would it be on Instagram?
Instagram, LinkedIn. Both for Glorious Risings and for Kiana Webb.
Okay. Well, again, we have those links, but if you put in Kiana Webb, I'm sure you'll find her. Kiana, I'm looking over my notes, and there are so many amazing things that we spoke about that we haven't even touched on. my goodness. And then we've started such a conversation here, but it revolves around relationship. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at my notes, and there's in quotes, I have love your neighbor as yourself. And I was trying to remember, what was that about? Oh, relationships, right? Right.
It's funny to me because I often think that we do love our neighbor as ourselves. And every way that you are with someone else, you have to know that you were first that with yourself. So if I go back to the conversation you had with your client, and she said, I'll give time when someone comes. And your response was, no, give time now. Like, you invite who you are. So for every argument or upset or irritation that I have, that's my opportunity to have a relationship with myself, so that no matter who I'm talking with or to, if I've healed that, if I've loved it, if I've examined it within myself, I'm no longer fighting that out in the world with someone else. So I rarely have upsets. I was with my son the other day, and he was doing something, and he was not paying attention to me at all. And finally, I just started yelling. And it wasn't at him. I just started yelling. And every my I have two daughters as well. My kids were looking at me like, what are you doing? And we all just started laughing because there was no animosity or anger in it. It was just to get attention, But most of the time, all of that emotion is stored in our body, and we project it out on people, and we don't actually realize that it's showing us about us. And that's what I mean about relationships. If you want a spouse or a partner, shape what you want and then become that.
Well, if we wanted a great interview guest, we must have shaped it right, because here it has become. And thank you so much, Kiana, for being that. Kiana
Am
Webb,
but a
what a
reflection
pleasure.
of you. It has been a joy.
A joy here too, and we might as well say actually this whole show has been in a sense co produced by our mutual friend Umi, right?
Yes,
So let's say
amazing.
hello and thank you to Umi McGuckin, so who's put everybody on the show together today. So Kiana, a pleasure, and I look forward to connecting in person.
Me too. I know.
And the next time we get to have this conversation. And
Can't wait.
with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Jenny, and I remember you telling me that you were able to achieve walking again without pain by consistently affirming that you could. I broke my ankle 6 months ago, and it is still painful when I walk. So I want to know how affirmations work and which ones will help me achieve my goal, which is to enjoy walking again.
Dear Jenny, affirmations work by promoting self-belief and motivation through positive statements that help shift your mindset. By regularly repeating affirmations, you can encourage your brain to accept these positive thoughts as reality, which can lead to increased self-confidence and improved responses to challenging situations. And yes, I used affirmations to walk without pain, and I believe you too can accomplish your goals by checking out articles online which explain in greater detail how affirmations work. PsychologyToday.com, MentalHealth.com, and PositivePsychology.com are just a few of the really good ones that can help you understand how affirmations work. As for which affirmations you want to use, I can share the few that worked for me and suggest you use them or find others that resonate more for you. I repeated over and over again, I feel great. I walk with grace and ease. I am fully healed. These work for me, and every now and then when my knee hurts, I say the affirmations again, and they work perfectly. I also use many other positive affirmations during the day that assist me in creating a happy life. A few of these are, today is a great day to create an awesome day. I am blessed by the love of my family and friends. I am consistently doing my best to be the best me I can. Jenny, we are constantly affirming, so it's absolutely necessary that you pay attention to your thoughts, words, and actions because they create your world. I believe you will discover that not all of your affirmations are positive, and you have the power to change them to ones that serve you. Please do the research and find the phrases that fit your situations the best, and let me know how you're doing after putting positive affirmations to work for you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guests, Derek McKenzie and Josephine Pepink, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Do
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
And we're back. Our performance guests are a UK-born drummer and a drummer DJ. We're going to have him explain what that is. And he's Derek McKenzie. And we also have a DJ, singer, songwriter, Josephine Pepink here on the Life Changes Show. Welcome to you both, Derek and Josephine.
Thank you for having us.
Yay, we're so happy to be here.
It's so great. You know, it actually sounds like you're both together, but you're not even in separate rooms. You're in separate countries.
That's right.
Okay, so what countries and how did these two countries and two people come together?
Okay, I'm in the UK. I'm in London, in the UK, at home. And Josephine, where are
I'm
you?
I'm in Denmark. I'm in Denmark to visit my grandparents. But we got brought together by our manager who manages both of us, Umi McGuckin, that we got introduced through her, which is really exciting. About 6 months ago, is it nearly, Derek?
Maybe a little bit longer, but yeah, about 6-7 months ago.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know this was this new.
It was. Yeah. It is. And we've done a lot in those 6 months.
Wow. Well, speaking of new, we're going to be sharing some brand new music, and this is the first time you all are talking about it on air, which is very exciting. So thank you for choosing the Life Changes Show. And there's a specific reason also why there's a connectivity there we'll talk about in a moment. But I kind of wanted to give the audience a taste of who we're talking to. As a drummer, Derek, you've been known to drum around with a particular band, and we'll have you tell us what you want about that. But I found out that you started really young with some kitchen pots and pans.
My mum's coat hangers just started hitting the pots and pans on the floor, literally at the age of 6, and driving my mum mad, if you know what I mean, you know, with the racket, you know. And then that's how it all started. It was just a natural thing. It wasn't like, you know, my mum didn't say you're going to be a drummer or anything like that. It was just a natural thing. And I just kind of gravitated towards it over the years, to be honest. And then at 14, I joined my first band at 14, semi-pro at 14, and then fully professional at 27. And then just kept on doing my music and loving music and just getting more and more into it, you know. And then eventually playing with the band that I've been with for the past 30 years, which is Jamiroquai.
Yay. Very nice. You're the beats behind that. As a matter of fact, I was reading a little bit about that and some of what you brought next level to the band, and that's exciting. And speaking of next level, let's do Josephine, you too, because you started off as a child as well. Let's just get past that.
Yeah, so I started when I was very young. My mum's a singer, my dad's a guitarist, and they were always singing and playing in the house. So I was just around music from a very young age. And then I wrote my first song when I was 9, I want to say, and it just felt so natural for me to create. Moved to London and did the open mic circuit. I was busking on the streets of London, built some amazing, you know, beautiful connections and moments with people through that. And you know, then connected later with Umi McGuckin and our manager, and then with Derek. Yeah. So it was building it all up in London for the last decade. It's been an amazing journey.
Mm. Okay, so before we get to the two of you together, let me ask you, drummer DJ, what is that?
So, of course, you know, my main job is a drummer, but during or just before lockdown, a few years before lockdown, I was actually DJing at a few clubs in, you know, just around the world, and Just small clubs though, because it's something that I always wanted to do. And then during lockdown, I got more into the DJing, and then just had this crazy idea of doing drumming and DJing. And just before lockdown, actually, I did a gig with a friend of mine in Amsterdam. His name's Oded, and I was playing pads whilst DJing as well. So I play the
Oh.
songs, mix and everything, and then I play electronic pads. And that's when the first I that's when it initially kind of was that's when it was born, let's put it that way. That's when it was born. And then fast forward, I wanted to expand it even more and do like, use a drum kit, basically, actually use a drum kit. So DJ, mix the tracks, then jump onto the drum kit and start playing as well.
So we get a live action feel going on as well.
Yeah, exactly that, exactly that.
Clever.
And then I approached Umi about it a couple of years ago. Last year actually. I think it was last year, and she was really excited about the idea and just wanted to help me develop this. And so, and this is where the whole thing is kind of just developed to as we are now.
Yeah, with these
Drum
tracks,
kit
yeah.
more and just doing more gigs using the pads. I haven't actually done a gig where I've used the actual kit yet. I've still yet to do that, but I will get to that stage
That's
because
the plan.
I'm very, very, that's the plan. I'm getting close,
Well,
and I'll be the
Josephine,
only. Apparently,
Josephine.
I'll be the only drummer DJ on the international circuit.
Well, that's right, 'cause I'd never heard of that. And technically, Josephine, you could be singer DJ, right? 'Cause you kind
Yeah.
of do a similar thing, but singing.
Yeah, so that's what we do. So like when I perform my DJ and then I grab the wireless mic, sing a bit, jump into the crowd, do a bit of dancing, and then jump back on the decks. And when we DJ and perform together, Derek and I, that's why it works, because then one jumps a bit on the drums, I jump a bit on the singing, and we DJ back to back. It's just cool.
It works.
It's
Yeah,
a cool
and it's
duo.
very entertaining. Entertaining for the troops. We love it. We love
Yeah, it's
it.
so fun.
Oh, well, it works, obviously, at least from what I've seen and heard so far. So we've posted videos, one for each of the pages you all have, and they're interestingly enough, like this is so new, like these just dropped, and very exciting. So we're gonna talk about the meaning behind the songs after we get to hear the first one. But I have to say that when I started hearing your music, I was feeling like, oh, I jumped into something else, like a different era, like one that has happened but hasn't happened yet. Like
I love
it was a weird feeling,
that.
like, oh,
That's
I'm
great.
familiar with this, but you
Great.
were using words that are very today, and I'm like, oh, and it feels good. So tell us where that came from for the two of
Yeah,
you.
I think that's really cool that you mentioned that, because I think that's the whole point of those songs, is to sort of bring the new with the old. Like, obviously, the song Time Travel has Yoko on it. She's a 14-year-old prodigy drummer. Like, she was in the Ellen when she was very young. And then we got sort of like the guys, you, Derek, and Matt Johnson and Paul Turner from Jamiroquai playing on that. We sort of bring in the generations together, and it's just cool that you notice that. I think it's so important part of the music that, we're focusing on unity and bringing everybody together from different countries. And yeah, it's a bit of a
But
mixture
also,
of the old and the new, yeah.
but also creating that really good, a good vibe, just to creating a really good vibe, a happy vibe for people to feel when they're hearing the music as well, you know, and as well, and then the lyrics on top actually just brings it all together, you know.
Yeah, and we'll talk about more about that after we get to hear the song. So here is Derek McKenzie, and is there a name for the two of you together yet, or Derek McKenzie and
No,
okay,
just
so
Josephine.
okay, well, here's Derek McKenzie and Josephine Peptink's pre-recorded song here on the Life Changes Show online edition. Time travel.
Thank you.
Wow. And so much fun. I was dancing in my seat. Actually, I've heard it several times now, and I've been doing that. So thank you for that. It makes me feel good. I do want to tell, before we talk more about that feeling, I do want to tell people how they can learn more about the two of yous. Obviously, Derek McKenzie has a website, and Derrick, and then MCKENZIE.com. That's how you can find him, his website, and your Instagram is what?
Degzy99, Degzy 99.
Yeah, and there's that, and then Josephine Papink, and that's Josephine, just like it sounds, and Papink is PEPPINK.com, and on Instagram, same thing, right?
Just Josephine Pippin, yeah, in one word, yeah. Nathan.
Okay, so that happy feeling, let's talk about that.
Oh, well, the happy feet. Well, it's something we've both always felt in music because we love to do music. It's, I think, just being, just actually creating music which gives people a good vibe, uplifting vibe, is what we've always been about, to be honest. Between Josephine. We're happy people anyway, naturally, we're happy people. But the music,
And
go on.
no, I was just gonna add to that. I said that I think it's what we want to give is just people give people a moment of like escape, like they can just listen to the music, they can get into the vibe, like you said, and just forget for a moment about, you know, their age or their current situation or their challenges and just get into the music. It's all about high frequencies and, you know, yeah,
And
embracing the
colors,
moment. Yeah.
yeah, because we're using also AI as well within the we used AI in the video, to be honest. We use AI in the video because it's coming, it's showing different different just different generations of people, different colors, different races. It's just showing everything, you know. We just want to bring all that together in the
Yeah, the
music
message of
we're doing.
unity. Yeah, that's really portrayed in the music video, with all the people from across the globe. I think that's very important to bring that all together.
You know, I almost didn't want to get into the happy part of the music because, in the sense that if you tell somebody this is actually good for you, sometimes they're like, oh, I don't know if I want it.
That's true.
right. But because, in a sense, the idea is if we're going into a club or we're listening to music in the background or what have you, or dancing at a party, the music can actually be maybe fun to dance to, but it's not necessarily uplifting us or supporting us, right?
But
And this
we,
is the opposite.
that's exactly what we want to create, that the complete opposite of that. When you go into a club and listen to what we do, we want to be lifting people up. We want them to feel good. We want them to just acknowledge the vibes that we're giving out. You know,
Not at
we
the expense of fun and good music.
but at the ex no I think
Right?
with the ex with the at the expense of good music, because we love to create this disco funk pop vibe, because
Nice.
I think it's the way that we express ourselves in a really, you know, in a positive way. I've always been into disco funk, and working with Josephine has been such an amazing experience for me, because what it's done, it's allowed the music to have even more of a lift, because she creates that amazing vibe, which gives you that good positive feeling.
Yeah, get the thank you for that. Yeah, I think it's been such a cool like way to get together. Like I've been adding my vocals and the bit that people want to sing along to while Derek and you know the other guys has been like creating the groove. And you know you got to get have good lyrics, good messages, but also have like the danceable beat that you can, you know, that it's all of that together that just makes, yeah, you know, a good feeling, a good song in the end of the day.
And also, why it feels to me, especially getting to know you both a little bit more, why it feels to me that it works for sure is that both of you, we started off talking about how you both started as kids and you kept going and you kept growing. So musically, you know what you're doing and you've been doing it and you can get it there. Also, it's your personalities that this is, you're not trying to do this. This is who you are.
It's our true
and only personalities. When you get to meet us in person,
yes,
you will not yes. stop laughing and you'll be smiling continuously. Trust us.
Well, we already had that before the show for sure. So I look forward to that. Well, in the meantime, also when, so people are getting this from the music, from who you are, and the collaboration makes sense and all of that. So this is what we need today, more people like you and more people doing what you do, because it feels like this is what we need.
I agree. I think it's more than music, like with this stuff. For me, always, it's been way more about channeling something through the songwriting, something healing that can just make people feel connected and empowered through music. You know, it's more than just writing a good song. It's just about connection and unity. And I think that's what music can do. You can connect with a stranger through music that you can just never do in any other way other than music. Like, I think it's so powerful how you can, you just feel that connection with someone that you don't even know through a song that you love.
Yeah.
And before we hear the next song, the music is something that, any culture can experience it. The interesting thing is that the combination of vocals and drums and the two of you together, using the voice is something that probably has been used since we were first created or appeared or whatever. And drumming has been a part of culture from all we can tell since the beginning of time as well. Right.
Absolutely. Always. I find that a good beat, will always put a smile on someone's face. Or it'll get their feet to tap. It'll cause them to feel good. It'll get them to move. Even if it's just a little bit, it'll get them to move, you know. Mm. And it's the, you know, I could say definitely say the same with lyrics, because you could say that the drums are the foundation, the lyrics are, and the vocals are literally the icing on the cake, or the sprinkler, which makes people feel really happy and makes them want to smile.
If we just get one smile in exchange for our performance, then we've done our job, right?
I've never heard that. I love it.
One smile, we've done a good job. We're
one
good.
Toe tap.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be tapping our toes for sure here in just a moment and smiling. Do you want to let us know as we listen to Hey Booze, anything about it before we share it?
We made the track originally, we started out the track with Zoran Jevtic, myself and him. We did the music, and then Umi heard the music and wanted to create a very high energy track, you know, but we needed the vocal, and Umi brought in a Josephine who done an I mean, she's done an amazing job, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I think it was such a great track. When I heard it, I immediately just wanted to write on it. I think Umi had this bigger vision for something like a really big, energetic, danceable, like uplifting track. And she was sort of searching for, you know, the right voice for the track. And that's when she brought me on. And it was just magical how it came together. It's such a good track. I can't wait for you guys to hear it.
Well, that says it all. So, well, here is Derek McKenzie and Josephine Pink's pre-recorded song, Hey Boo.
Just gonna break my heart again. just gonna break my heart again. I knew. Windows down towards the sunrise. It's 5 a.m. but we still own the night. It's only right to make new memories. Clear my mind, lean in, forget our history. I wanna live like I ain't scared of time. Love like losing isn't on my mind. I swear just one last time by your side. You can break my heart if tomorrow arrives. Let's do it again. We can do it again. Sing it, let's live it again.
And there it is. Oh my gosh. How fun is that? Okay, we want more.
Even I was dancing in the bedroom. I'm not going to lie.
you do have more, right? There's more coming.
There's absolutely a load more coming. Yeah, we've got lots more tracks on the go. We're writing more tracks and we're working with people, with international artists from Japan, from America, from France, Spain, you know, just to collaborate and just create more and more of this happy music, you know.
Nice for our new happy world.
That's what we're hoping for, right? We just wanted people to listen to it and feel the vibes and
good vibes. It's all about good vibes.
You're doing it one smile and one tap at a time, and thank you for that. Thank you for that. And with that, a big thank you to Derek McKenzie and to Josephine Pepink. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. And another big thank you to our interview guest, Kiana Webb. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, as ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. On Facebook at The Life Changes Show and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.